Hey, welcome, Danielle. You
Hi,
look wonderful.
Danielle.
Very
Thank you.
bright.
Always looks beautiful.
I was just on a Zoom with the director of Broken Hearts Gallery, so I'm a little late.
That's all right.
Tell
It's
us
okay.
all about it.
She's a boss. She just had a baby on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, and is doing interviews all today, and she was great. She's very
Wow.
quick. Very funny. I can absolutely see how the script for Broken Hearts came from her, because she's just as funny and endearing as the movie.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's some good journalism right there.
Oh, sure. That's in theaters now.
This
Yeah.
weekend. Yeah.
Starts
I'm
tonight.
looking I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, you can go see it at 6 p.m. at the UA Galaxy near my house if I was
Oh,
inclined.
I'm super excited it's coming to theaters, but I still wish this is the kind of movie that, it's a rom-com, so you go to these kinds of movies with friends and with people, and what makes them even better is when you're in a jam-packed movie theater laughing. It's a lot like kind of like a girls trip kind of movie, and that it's funny, it's endearing. The lead, Geraldine, she's hilarious, like hilarious. And to be safe, you can't pack a theater right now. You just can't do that. You still have to be cognizant of the safety precautions and things like that I think theaters are doing really well at the moment. But I would love to see this kind of movie with just 100+ other people all laughing and reacting and engaging right alongside me.
Oh, I love her. She's in Hala and Blockers.
You will love her in this movie.
She is
She's so
so
magnetic. She is so
yeah.
magnetic. You do not want to stop watching her. She's amazing.
She's so good in Hala. I was at Sundance last year. That movie is tough, and she's great in Blockers. She's hilarious. Okay, cool. I like her. Good on you.
So, speaking of going to the movie theater, I think some people here went to a movie theater, but I think we also need to shout out that it's someone's birthday.
Yeah, I was gonna. I
Yes.
purposely didn't wear any Kansas City Chiefs gear because it was your birthday.
That was so nice of you.
Man,
Just
talk about a thoughtful friend.
but anyway, happy birthday, Brandon.
Happy birthday,
That's a long way to
Happy
get
birthday,
there.
Brandon.
I'm 1 year older now after we went around
Yeah.
the block to get there.
So, speaking of birthdays, not really, but how did anyone go to a movie this weekend?
No. I did not.
We
I did
did.
not.
We did.
We did.
How was it? Yeah.
We went and saw Tenet, which was number two for me, in the same theater.
And what did you guys think? What was the vibe? Tell us all about it.
I mean, our row was almost full.
Wow. Is that
Yeah.
okay? Was that the way is it separated? Was it like, were there like seats between seats? So you guys buy two seats together and then there was seats empty, or do they just let the whole row go? How was it separated?
So we went to one of the bigger chains and we went to see it in a Dolby theater, which was amazing. And in my opinion, when you can get an experience like that for a movie like this, it's worth paying for it. Whether it's a Dolby or IMAX or an Atmos or whatever, that those experiences, they have them so dialed in. But we bought our tickets in advance. We ordered our concessions in advance.
Can I
So
take a gander what Brandon ordered?
I
Oh,
don't
I
know. You
know.
already know.
Yeah, bunch crunch.
Bunch of crutch.
There it is.
Popcorn.
And the popcorn. So we pulled up to the theater. There was plenty of signage on saying what to do and where to go. Your ticket got scanned in. You walked up to the little counter and grabbed your food. There was no self-serve concessions or anything like that. And then, yeah, we took our seats, adjusted them accordingly, and there was a seat on either side of us, and then a group on the side on the other side of Danielle, and a group on the other side of me. But in the theater, in those Dolby Atmos theaters, they're so spread out anyway. The rows are, I mean, you can't even see the people that are sitting in the row in front of you, and you can't turn back far enough to see the people behind you. So as far as cleanliness and safety, I've never been in a cleaner theater and we wore our masks and everybody else wore their masks appropriately unless they were eating or drinking. And it never bothered me for one second. So all that part of going to the movies, I felt it was safe, it was comfortable, it was non-intrusive. But let's talk about the actual watching the movie in a movie theater.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I don't remember what that's like.
You almost really forget how good it is. I mean, how many movies do you think we've all watched in the last 6 months not in a movie theater?
A lot. Too many.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, when the lights actually go down and you're actually starting to be taken away from, you know, your reality at the moment, and there is that transitional moment when you're watching trailers and then the pre-roll goes on and then the movie starts. And I don't care how good your home theater is or how good you think it is, there is nothing like seeing it on a screen that size with music that is literally pulsing in your bones. Your chair's rattling. Your heart rate sinks to the music. I swear, it was awesome. It was, I walked out of there, endorphins firing in my head, and I was thinking, God, this was a great time.
I think we all took it for granted, right? Like, yeah, we're just so used to always being able to go to the movies whenever we wanted. I think we're going to appreciate it more.
Well, to Brandon's point too, you really do, at least I did, forget all of the different senses that are activated when you're in a movie theater. It's a far different experience from sitting on your couch because, and we've talked about this before, you know, when you're on your couch, how many of us actually give 100% of our focus to what's going on in front of us? Versus, you know, something that's happening in the kitchen or the dogs run by or your cell phone pings. Whereas you walk into a movie theater and it's like you're in the zone again. The lights go down and you hear that sound slowly pick up to the point where you can literally feel it in your bones. And you're like, oh yeah, that's why you watch a movie here.
And I will say that Tenet, the first, I don't know, 6 minutes of the movie are really intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does not start off introducing anybody. Like, hey, you know, it starts off with an action scene, running through the opera. I mean, you see the characters and you are just, I'm like, I'm in, let's go. I'm with you guys. And they say, wake up the Americans. And you're like, here we go. And it is off to the races. It's so much fun.
God, I can't wait. You guys
said yeah.
So, what trailers did you guys see?
Speaking, I'm so glad you brought trailers up because I love watching trailers before the movie. And I was thinking the same thing. I literally looked over at Brandon and I said, are we going to get trailers? What trailers do we get right now? And then, you know, they all started playing. Like, we got Black Widow. We got, what's the new Agatha Christie one? The On the Nile?
Death on the Nile.
Death on the Nile. We got that one. What else do we get?
Wonder Woman. Dune.
We got Dune.
It started off with a very depressing Let Him Go. The Diane Lane and...
Isn't it really depressing? It's a horror movie.
Yeah, but it's taking your kids away. So those were the trailers we watched, and it was cool to just see them in the theater.
It's awesome.
I did talk to several people starting Thursday last week who were either New York based or LA based, and they're like, we're driving to Connecticut, we're driving to San Diego, we're driving like 2 hour drives to go see Tenet. So I did see a lot of that. It's a great movie to see in a theater.
That's all I could think about when I've been, you know, looking at, especially all of that footage that, you know, Danielle had given me of all the interviews, all of the behind the scenes things. And it just got me revved up and ready to go. And one thing I'm really, really sad about is now that I'm not enough into the world where like I'm not gonna be able to get my hands on one of the posters, and that makes me really sad. Unless someone has any connections, so they can reach out and get me a Tenet poster.
I think that was directed at you.
anyone, hint, hint. I know it's Brandon's birthday, but someone want to give me a present?
Anyone who's listening, you know, Scott needs a poster.
Our friends at Warner Brothers, if you happen to have an extra one.
I'm sending a text message right now, Scott, and just letting you know.
Look at that.
I think I may.
Magic happen.
We're bros forever.
If there's somebody here.
The magic happen. Okay, wait. Do we know what the actual final grosses were through Monday yet? Because I haven't looked. I've been traveling, and we need to know who won. I still think James won.
I think he did too.
I felt bad. I was like, I should read emails more closely.
Well, I had to go double check.
They say through Thursday.
Yeah, you got to remember, James, the holiday weekend, you count Monday.
I forgot. I was totally like, oh, yeah, it's a weekend. Nah, yeah. They did give a weekend gross, and then they just didn't give the holiday at first. I'm like, oh, look what
they
did.
They still have only given the weekend $20,200,000, but I think we can... I'm okay with settling on that James wins box office betting round one.
I tell you, I just use my math, and I was thinking about Melissa and Scott, and I was thinking about everybody on the West Coast, and I was thinking, dude, there's so much still not open for this movie. And to the point, we just continue this conversation. I just read that was it Wonder Woman and Dune may push. Because they're thinking, because Tenet didn't do as well as it should have done. I'm like, that's sad, because that just leaves us more holes in the fall. And I'm like,
I'm just hoping that they'll give Tenet a longer run, because I just think more people need time to see it.
Yeah.
I think Tenet probably will, because we're not getting a ton of content right away.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think we need to see, what if this weekend does 20 million? Then I think that will help them realize it's just a longer span, and it's going to be spread out more because you don't have as many people going to the theaters.
So a couple things on the box office. When you get to first, like James said, the 70% of theaters are open. So that brings it down quite a bit of the potential audience. And even though you're putting it on more screens, there's fewer people that are, the capacities of every auditorium is at least cut in half, if not more. And then you're shaving out an audience that's saying, hey, I'm not quite ready to go back yet. And I'm not going to be one of the early adopters. I can go see it at a later date. But then the other part of it is, it's a Christopher Nolan film. So I think we, the five of us, would be the core audience, and many of our listeners. But it is still not Christopher Nolan in and of himself is a genre. Like, oh, I want to go see a Christopher Nolan movie. It's not for everybody. It's a really, you have to be in the moment to see it. It's 2.5 hours. It's complex. It's not a simple, just superhero, let's go watch shit blow up and let's see some acrobatics and all that. I mean, it's an intense movie. So it's not for everybody. And even the reviews aren't for everybody. But I will say this, if you enjoy going to the movie theater, put this movie on your list to go see. It's a must to watch in a theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to factor in LA and New York aren't open. Those are
huge markets.
To do 20 million with LA and New York and a lot of other places closed, I think that's impressive.
I think the general audience, I think there's still some awareness issues that people aren't aware of the fact that theaters are open. You know, the general public who would normally just be like, what do we want to go do this weekend? Oh, we want to go to the movies. Let's just go to the movies. I think there's a large portion of that group that isn't plugged in enough to know that things are open right now.
I think that's why Wonder Woman and Dune and even the Broken Hearts Gallery, Death on the Nile, and the Kingsman got moved. But that is exactly... it, Danielle. People say, what do you want to do this weekend? Let's go to the movies. Because normally you can just walk up to the box office, right, James, and be like, yeah, hey, what do I want to watch?
There it is.
And versus right now, I'm not sure if there's going to be something there that I'm really going to like. So normally there is a movie kind of for everybody, something in the mix, and there just isn't that momentum yet. So that's what exhibitors are up against and studios are up against, is we've got to go back and rebuild this momentum that going to the movies is part, is in the decision set of what I'm doing. So
I think another thing that is really important, not only is it that I feel like maybe people aren't aware of theaters and stuff being open, but specifically about this movie, I wish more people knew about how groundbreaking the making of this movie was. Because if people understood that, I think they'd want to go appreciate it in a movie theater. Mainly because I think people love to sit there and bear witness to history being made on the big screen. And like, I think we've all probably been there for little staples of that. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those movies and I can't wait to see it. And like, there's a fence just, you know, keeping me back right now. So I think maybe that's another thing too, is if people had more awareness of how, of how complicated a process it was to make this movie, that it might give people a little more incentive to go and appreciate it on the big screen.
Do you think Tenet is going to have a re-release down the road, like a holiday re-release or?
I would hope so.
Yeah. I feel like you were saying earlier that it's just going to stay. It might be, My Big Fat Greek Wedding or Titanic, where it just doesn't leave the theaters for 7, 8, 9 months a year, because it's like, well, we're still trying to piece it together. Because, these studios, Tenet's what, almost $200 million film?
$200 million.
Yeah, and so studios got to look at that and go, okay, how do we get this? Mulan did some overseas sales. The return on investment on this thing is so massive that, getting these movies out to make that money back, or just say, cut a lot. Disney's been doing it a lot. I'm praying they just don't dump Black Widow to Disney Plus.
They do
that.
I think
they're learning a lot through the movies that they're putting on Disney Plus. Take Mulan, for example. You have a movie that is a huge action movie. That's not cheap. They have these epic battle scenes in Mulan, and you're putting it on streaming, and while you're charging $30, so if that's a family with a couple of members, that would technically cover the cost of going to a movie theater. But there was a lot of pushback about buying Mulan for $30 to watch it, and people saying, we're just going to wait till December whenever it comes out for free. So are you actually recouping the cost of the movie like you would if you were releasing it in theaters?
Well, I don't know. I think also maybe some people didn't really realize that $30 cost bought them the movie, that it wasn't a rental.
Yes.
And I think that was another thing too, is people are uncertain to spend that kind of money to own it without seeing it first. I have no doubt in my mind that people who have saw the movie would spend $30 to own it, to be able to watch it at home. But maybe the audiences are just like, well, I'm not sure yet. Like, it's kind of new territory. I was supposed to see this in a movie theater. Now I'm kind of seeing it here. Maybe I'm just going to wait. I think that's why it was so great that Tenet was like, nope, this has to be in a theater. This is where it belongs.
I hope they re-release Mulan, honestly.
Because
Brandon and I were lucky enough to see it in a theater, and I can't imagine seeing it at home.
Shout out to Christopher Nolan and team and Warner Brothers for holding the line and putting Tenet in a theater where it belongs. And they had a choice. They have HBO Max. They could have played that card, and they didn't. And I think that is a testament to that team over there in coming together and doing this in a very challenging time. I hope that their next major release, which is Wonder Woman, will hold. And by the way, Dune looks incredible.
Dune looks so good. It's all right. I've watched that trailer 5 times. I can't. I made my wife, she hates dirty films. Like, this, everybody's dirty. I go, yeah, but this is good dirty. This is like,
is that a genre?
And yeah, anything dirty with films? dust, dirt, apocalyptic. Yeah, she's not down. You know, like,
dirty cowboy films, and my mind did not go there.
Agreed.
I was not thinking of it.
Insert Dune trailer here in this as editing note. Like, that is, let's get everybody to watch it. It's fantastic. So.
Just a quick on Mulan, early estimates that it's already brought in $150 million.
in through streaming?
Yes. That's $30 a pop. I'm thinking, so that's 20 people. I don't know. I'm not good at math. So
that's 20 people.
Do you think it made that much because it's a Disney movie? Like, for example, if Broken Hearts Gallery was streaming and you had to rent it or you had to purchase it to watch it, do you think it would see the same success, or is it just because it's the magic of Disney?
Magic of Disney. Yeah. The marketing machine.
They've got a platform. They've got Plus. They have 50 million people on that already. I mean, they literally have meetings over there on the tenets of what a princess is.
But also, people are still pretty much in quarantine. I mean, I think that's such a huge part. If it was normal life, I do not think they would make the same amount of money. I really don't. People would want to go out. Everybody doesn't want to stay home all the time. It's the experience. It goes back to that.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, I'm hoping, and part of me is hoping that Dune does push to next year when it's, you know, theaters are a little busier and everything's cool. I know my favorite theater will be open and I'll be able to sit in my favorite seat without Bunch of Crunch and with something else that's gummy related and just have my head explode with sandworms, because that's all I care about. Related.
Love it.
Sandworms. And I just want to mention this. My head's a little spinning right now, just because I'm pertaining to what I do day to day. I'm attending the Toronto Film Festival as we speak.
Oh, really?
It started last night, actually, virtually, and this will be the first of three straight festivals I'm doing: Toronto, New York, and AFI Fest, all back to back to back, all virtually. It's really weird having the access to movies that I can't imagine that I would have access online to. Then there's, for instance, when I finish this call, gonna watch the new, I can't think of her name right now, Regina King directed film, One Night in Miami.
Really good.
Now, do they send you, is there a specific time that you have to be online to watch, or do you get a link?
So I wish I could share this, but I'll probably get in trouble for sharing my screen. But yeah, so what they do is a portal. It's called the TIFF Digital Portal. Digital Pro Portal. And at that point, once you have your pass, you sign up and they send you a registration and you register and you can go to the portal and it'll say this movie is available, available next Saturday at 10 a.m. for a South Asian film called Suitable Boy, or the opening night film, David Byrne's American Utopia. Apparently, I can't watch, and it says not available in your country. I can't watch. There's a few films that I can't watch at all. And then there's other things like Idris Elba and Concrete Cowboy, which will be available on Monday. And you could get, I think it's 24 to 48 hours. You have to watch it. And after that, it's done. And you have to watch it through their portal.
So you're judging all of these films?
No, I'm just attending. So I'm getting ready I'm looking at these films for potential things for DIFF, for Dawson National Film Festival, and for 2020, we have a screening series throughout the year, and so some of these movies' release dates may be later. And so, hey, I've already seen this film, so I can say this is a good one for us to show. We should really do this. And I'm actually taking meetings virtually as well, which is really odd, having Zoom meetings with a sales agent. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we can talk about those other 14 films you want me to watch. I have no time for that. So,
right on.
James, how are you watching them? Can you watch it on your TV, or do you have to watch it on your computer?
I plug HDMI into my, and I shoot it out to the TV, or because it's not as, when I'm streaming, like casting to the television, there's a little delay there that I don't want. So I just plug it directly. And it's great. I mean, the quality is spectacular. I've watched two movies today already. I'm thinking, this is high quality. But from a, I'm looking at it from a pirate point of view as well. I'm going, what's to stop me there? But I could set up a camera and just go, I'm watching this, but they'll kind of, I don't know how they track that, but I'm just looking at it because I'm thinking about how will we do this for Giles International Film. Only the ones that I have seen have been so far. They've been industry screening. So I'm waiting to see a gala. So the next time I watch this, when I get to the big gala films, that's what I want to see what that looks like. The big films that already have distribution and et cetera. So if it's watermarked, I'll let you know. I'll send a follow-up. There's so many things.
Is it tough though? Because you'd rather obviously be at the festival.
I'd rather be at the festival. I mean, yeah. I think 2 years ago, Danielle was there and we were hanging out. We had Korean food and we were going place to place. And there's something neat. That's my favorite festival in the world is the Toronto International Film Festival. I love that city. It's just so big. And it's just all these people and everybody is there. And that's, I mean, even more so than Sundance in a way, because you can get around it, but everybody's there. The whole world shows up. 100,000 people go in for that festival. And it's explosive, and it's just sad that this would have been my 16th Toronto Film Festival in a row, and it is not happening.
Sounds like At the Movies podcast at TIFF 2021.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm
in.
Only a four-hour drive from my house.
There you go.
And I'm only a 10-minute drive from Melissa's house.
So it's a 10-minute drive for Scott and a 4-hour drive for Melissa.
We could set up in the IMDb lounge. It'll be cool. We'll just rock and roll. It'll be fun.
So there we go.
Oh, God, I miss all the parties.
Right? It's just a different experience now. But as we talk about it, let's... Well, tell us how those movies are, what you liked as we go through the next couple episodes with us and figure it out. I read an article today. Reed Hastings did his interview. He just released this book, The No Rules Rules. And he talks about Netflix does not plan on buying a theater chain.
Oh.
But he does talk about the importance of the theatrical experience, and he believes in that, and Netflix is just happens to be focused on streaming entertainment. So
but unfortunately, like, Netflix has made so much good content that I would kill to see on the big screen. Like, do you know how good Stranger Things would have been on the big screen?
Oh man.
Yes. As a movie, but it's a TV show.
Everyone's been able to use the cinematic template though to create just great content, and it's all comes from the heart and soul of the movie theater. I mean, that's how we try to experience everything that's somewhat important, like at least like artistically or something. But no, like there are so many things I wish I could have saw on the big screen that Netflix had made.
What's that Chris Hemsworth one that came out?
Extraction.
Extraction.
That is a great movie in a movie theater.
Should have been in a movie theater. Mm-hmm.
Would have been really good. That kid, the little kid in that, he was going to be a diff. We had a world premiere of one of his films coming, The Diff. And I was like, you bring Chris with you. Bring Chris with you. So,
sure, there's a lot of people saying that.
Yeah. That was a good one. You're right, Scott. There's a lot of big screen content on Netflix that is sort of, I don't know. I mean, what was that Michael Bay one that was?
Six Underground.
Yeah, Six Underground, which, with, you know, you can just, Reynolds. Yeah, if you could turn off the dialogue, that movie is amazing. It's just amazing. It's the action in that film, and I'm a Bay apologist. I've seen everything. I'm not a Bay fan. Yeah. You're not?
Mm-mm.
Go ahead, Danielle. Okay. Tell us why.
Because was it Mike?
He was an interesting character on a red carpet to me one time.
What did he do?
I have not forgotten about it. I was doing the carpet for Transformers.
The first one?
No, which one was this? It was the last one.
Okay, well, he was sad and mad then. Go ahead. Oh. No apologizing.
Just wait. Yeah. But I was on the carpet, and it was one of my first, like, red carpets. It was in Chicago. It was a big one. Brandon was the camera guy. And heads up, I love you, Brandon. Do not hire him as your camera guy.
That already sounds like it was an interesting trip.
Oh, yeah.
Literally froze the camera, like,
oh, no.
Stuff. Completely out of focus the whole time, whole nine yards. But
I thought this was about Michael Bay. So I know. Lots of shade.
And it's his birthday.
Right? Love you. Michael Bay comes up, and instead of just doing an interview like a normal person would do, he begins to tell me that he's going to give me a lesson on cinematography. And at first, that sounds really cool. It sounds like, oh, sweet, you know, I'm in for this. But then he's kind of rude about it and starts taking my camera that's live, because I had a phone on that was live, and he starts turning at all these weird angles while telling me what I'm doing wrong. And people are on the live like, what's going on? We can't see. It's all wonky, you know? And he's like flipping cameras around, spinning around. He's like, there. Now you know. I'm like.
Yeah, no. But then again, I like his movies. And Six Underground would have been cool on a big screen. Unfortunately,
the action in that movie was awesome.
Yeah,
and I would have loved to see The Irishman on the big screen. I know a lot of people had that opportunity, but I feel like that's another one where a lot of people were on the fence about it because it was really long, or that seemed a lot of it was just unnecessary. But I think a lot of it had to do with where people watched that movie, and it wasn't in a movie theater.
I have a lot of press friends who saw it in theaters, and it.
Still not as good. I mean, I still liked it.
Every time you say the word, I get tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really
I fell asleep. Yeah,
I've never finished it.
Really?
I don't think I finished it either.
I looked over and I went, we're 2 hours in, I'm done.
Yeah.
You mean it wasn't a 4-part series? Because that's what it took me to watch only, it.
Well, like, see, I mean, I guess I can still just appreciate the story. The one thing I didn't appreciate was the digitized version of Robert De Niro. Like, I didn't need that. Weird.
Yeah.
Just hire another actor.
Yeah.
I thought there were some things that were... it was a little overkill, and I do think that the story was a little drawn out in some places. Like, I was like, okay, I feel like now you're just kind of like...
I think that's also another thing, though, is I think when you also look at some of his films that tonally are very, very similar, you appreciate them more in the movie theater. Because I think, again, it has to do with your level of focus, your level of... I don't know, just immersion into the story a little bit.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. Focus was an issue for me.
Right, yeah, and if you're at home and you've got things that can distract you from that movie, good luck getting through it. Because it's dense. It's a dense movie, but it's a good movie. It's a Scorsese movie.
It's not Goodfellas. And that was the thing, I missed the speed. His last two films, that and that Silence, I think it was, those two films are so quiet that I was thinking, and there's a lot of violence in Irishman, but still feels like it's so quiet. And I was always wondering, like, man, would this be better in the theater? I had lots of friends that saw it in the theater, and they argue with me over that same thing. It's better in the theater. I honestly think I don't go to the bathroom at all. I mean, my bladder has to be destroyed before I get up and go to a movie theater. I will go risk hospitalization. That's a movie I definitely would have gone to the bathroom on a couple of times going, I pretty much know what's going to happen. He's still going to be in this car when I get back. They're still going to be in this restaurant talking when I get back. They're still going to be talking, and Pacino's still going to be,
James brings up a really important point about going to the restroom during your movie theater experience. Yeah. I do the same thing. Like, I will be literally in pain because I don't want to leave the theater.
Yes, Melissa's my sister. Yes.
We'll be dancing in our seats together.
You're like, oh, it's going to be okay. Eyes come crying. Like, it's going to be all right.
Okay, so that brings up a point. Do you have a pre-movie ritual?
Bathroom.
Always go to the bathroom.
Always go to the bathroom before
empty the tank before you sit down to watch a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have to. Yeah.
Other than I also don't start eating my popcorn until the movie starts. Not the trailers, the movie.
Oh, so we're the opposite. Brandon and I start the second we sit down with the hopes that we'll get through it. And when the movie starts, then we'll just watch.
I don't want to interrupt myself watching the movie by myself.
I think that I ate popcorn during the movie up until I watched A Quiet Place in theaters. And we were at an Alamo Draft House. And I had my favorite buffalo cauliflower, which is not a crunchy meal in and of itself. Cauliflower is not very crunchy. Yeah. But eating with the silence that came with that movie felt like a crime. And everybody was kind of looking around like, do you not? Kind of waiting for some noise to take a bite. And I think since then, I'm like self-conscious.
So we need to figure out what our rules for what our rules are for pre-gaming a movie.
Brandon, are you losing it in your old age?
Yeah.
No,
we need to figure out.
You sounded like Bob Dole.
It doesn't change that quickly. I got distracted on...
Brent Jones says pregame. Brent Jones believes in pregame. Brent Jones. Jones.
You might need to check on him tonight.
I am seriously getting... I got distracted by something.
So
is it hard for me to do?
Oh, I'm fully crying.
That's good.
All right, so rules for pregaming. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, things that like are not against the law?
Well, anything that you can get away with in at least one state.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't really have anything. All the interest to share. I mean, I'm not really a big snack person in the movies. Like, if there's something there, I might pick at it, but like, I don't need that. The only thing that like will make a movie going experience better for me is a good cup of coffee, and then maybe some banter before the movie about, you know, other people in the movie theater that like I want to whisper about.
I admittedly sneak in, I think I've told this on the podcast before, which you should never sneak anything into a movie theater, but I sneak in ginger ale, sugar-free Zevia, because you can't get that at the movie theater, and dark chocolate chips to mix in my popcorn.
I'm drinking strawberry Zevia right here.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so I didn't think about sneaking that in. I used to bring a flask in. Now maybe I put soda in instead. That makes more sense.
James, you're getting old when you sneak in. I'm sneaking in my sugar-free soda. Like,
not going to get me that diabetes. Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't sneak food in. I'm a purist. If it's not there, I don't eat it.
Okay. That's good. I used to sneak burgers in when I saw Jaws as a kid. Jaws 2. My cousin, she snuck burgers in because we ain't paying his food prices here. It was 1980 or something. So, you know, we're 78. God, I'm old. Good God.
Are some theaters still banning like big purses?
Really?
Oh, I'm sure.
I know for a little bit there prior to COVID. There were theaters that were starting to ban big purses because people were sneaking in like full on entrees. Like I saw a picture circulating online where somebody snuck in a roast chicken.
I totally saw that. One time at Imagine, somebody posted on Instagram and tagged the theater. They brought in like a full bunch of bananas, like a bunch, like 12 bananas. Like a full.
How long are they staying?
I don't. Who eats 12 bananas in a movie?
Yeah, in a day.
Yeah, in a week. In a week. It was so weird. And then they tagged Imagine, and we were like, please don't sneak your full bag of groceries into the theater.
Well, I'm also wondering if, like, is that the real reason why they ban big purses and bags? Is because sneaking into food, isn't it more like oh, you could put something that could potentially harm everyone in this auditorium in that backpack. I'm hoping that's going to be the reason why, you know.
They're from Texas. They don't speak the same language as we do, Scott. Remember, Texas, everybody carries things in Texas.
I'm talking about like a bomb. No one wants to say the B word.
Don't say a bomb.
Right, but like, yeah,
that's... FCC just shut us down.
You made me say the B word. I was trying to imply, but you made me say it.
I think backpacks are a no-no, but people still bring purses. I think the backpacks are a, you're out of here, no-no. But women's purses, I mean, if you guys saw the size of some of my handbags, you'd be like, girl, what are you lugging around? Because women's bags get big. Mm-hmm. You could technically fit, you know?
Yeah, it's like that scene from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
They find the industrial strength hairdryer.
Yeah.
Speaking of scenes, when you said bomb, all I could think about was Meet the Parents, and like literally that is my favorite scene when he walks up to the ticket counter and she's just like typing because it's so true and they ignore you. And then obviously everybody knows what happens after that when he tries to check the bag and sings bomb, bomb, bomb. But that scene is like literally one of my top 10.
Does anyone know of any movie theater chains that have been able to find a workaround to like the biggest, like, I don't know, complaint in the exhibitor industry is people sneaking in food? Has there ever been somebody that's like, okay, we'll do this. Well, you give us $5, you can bring in anything you want into the theater. If you want to bring in KFC, that's fine. Just give us $5, bring whatever you want within reason.
Oh, sorry. Sirens. I'm in New York.
That's good. New York.
Does anyone know if anything like that has ever existed?
Real life.
No, but you know, when the dine-in business first started, they had like, you know, two, if you were going to go, you had to have like a 2-drink minimum. And those were early days of dine-in. I think the dine-in thing probably curbs some of that, you know, when you can order, you know, burgers and pizzas and salads and whatever else.
But for people who are listening who haven't worked in exhibition, we have to clarify, we know you think it's expensive, but we don't make any money on the movies. Like, that's the part that I think so many people don't know, that like movie theaters make money on their food, just like ballparks, football stadiums, all of that. And so that's why the food seems like it's pretty high priced.
We should actually...
This is the other thing that Trent was trending on social for a little bit on, like, you know.
Is that a chair?
No, it's an empty styrofoam, like half of a circle, but it's hollow on the inside.
So women will wear it under their shirt and they're like,
yes,
they're
stuffing it and wearing it under their shirt like they're pregnant. And then they take the bowl out and they have all their snacks.
I mean, that's genius.
I should do that. Yeah, but like, come in like I'm fat. Like, oh, how are you doing?
Like, what?
Who's got time to think about something like that? I mean, I'm impressed.
Bored kids in high school who want to go to like the homecoming game but sneak in a six pack. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Do you know how innovative children are?
That is pretty cool. I mean, they put vodka in their eyes, for crying out loud. This makes sense.
That's true. Well,
food people have snuck into movie theaters and you would be amazed at what comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People are eating straight up a whole cheesecake. Cheesecake. Who sneaks a whole cheesecake into a movie theater?
Cheesecake's delicious.
Yeah. You can't have cheesecake.
I know.
Cheesecake is delicious. That has to be the title of this episode, please.
Cheesecake is delicious. Melissa, you brought up a really good point. Maybe Scott and Brandon, maybe we could set up a future thing to talk about, almost do sort of a class for people who don't know how money is made in, because I mean, I remember taking that class when I was in film school, and I'm thinking, whoa, you don't make anything? I'm just learning the percentages, the breakdown, like what goes to the studio, what goes to the exhibitor and the distributor. I mean, it's just, that was fascinating stuff. So there might be, I mean, it's not a long lesson. It can be like 5 or 6 minutes, actually. You could go through it
pretty quick. So interesting enough, James, next week, we are going to bring on your friend Tim Patton, who is a film buyer. He's a film booker, owns a company called Cinema Services. And there's a whole industry that sits between the film studios and the movie theaters. Some movie theater companies do it in-house, but there are companies out there who book movies into movie theaters, and they sit in that layer that James is talking about. And maybe we can get Tim to explain it a little bit to our audience from an actual film booker.
That'd be great.
Coming soon.
Awesome.
Good plug.
Next episode.
Next week on At the Movies. Which I was thinking about changing At the Movies to the at symbol.
I like that.
It might keep us from some copyright problems, because I keep getting people telling me about the old TV show. I'm like, going,
yeah, like, yeah, and then
so different.
I also realized that, like, if I wanted to tell people, like, right now, I'm going to do a simple plug for the Instagram handle, but it's at dot the dot movies dot podcast. So once again, that's at dot the dot movies dot podcast.
Okay,
I know. So 101 on creating Instagram handles.
You can update it.
Let's make it harder.
No. Yeah.
Should we add like 69 in it or something? I don't know.
Okay. Yep. Man. I think we're good. Yeah.
Is that the end of the episode? I just killed the episode.
Perfect.
Dirty movies.
All right. This was probably one of our more fun podcasts.
This was definitely fun. Dirty movies. The title of this shouldn't be Cheesecake is Delicious. It should be My Wife Doesn't Like Dirty Movies. But not those types of dirty movies.
That is true. Oh my god,
that is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
How much more time do we have?
Short the whole
we
thing have 10 minutes. Make it dirty movies and cheesecake.
Yeah.
Dirty movies and cheesecake. That sounds like
that sounds good.
That's not good.
I've listened to that episode.